Welcome to our podcast. It's a privilege again to be able to speak into your life. And I just pray that your heart would be open and prepared to receive a word of encouragement, refreshment, and guidance. God bless you. Matthew 22:32 says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This phrase appears 20 times in the Old Testament, 5 times in the New Testament. And we're going to visit this amazing triumvirate, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What is the significance? When God appears to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, he says to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Not just of them, but the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Because God appeared in different ways to these three men, but we're going to look at the middle link today, the God of Isaac. The middle link. Can you imagine in your life if the bookends, the links surrounding you, are Abraham, the hero of faith? That's on your left. Isaac was an ordinary son with an extraordinary father. And the link to your right is Jacob, one of the greatest patriarchs in the history of the Bible. These names light your heart up and you remember the stories. But can you imagine if you were the middle link, the ordinary link? You know, sometimes you're not Abraham and you never will be. You will never be a superstar. And you'll never be Jacob. But did you know the link in the middle that holds those two together is, we're going to be baffled today by seeing that the utter ordinary is often used to produce the most extraordinary things. Isaac is the middle link. He's the patriarch with the shortest biography. All we read about it, read Genesis 20, 22, and 23, 24, 25, 26, that's it. We know, all we know is he lived 180 years. And the only other thing we know is not only did he live 180 years, which was outliving the years of Abraham, outliving the years of Jacob, but that in his 180 years, there's almost nothing remarkable about this middle link. And I think some of us often feel, I think I'm more like an Isaac. I'll never be Steve Stunning, Abraham. I'll never be Rufus Glitterteeth, Jacob. But did you notice the link that held them all together? Isaac, Yitzhak, Laughter Boy, Laughy Boy. He was called the son of laughter. Why? Because his parents had waited and waited and waited. Have you ever just waited and waited and waited for something to turn around or someone to turn around? Abraham's 100 years old, and his wife Sarah's in her 90s. And finally, they have the son of promise that they were longing for. Supernaturally produced by a miracle. Little Laughter Boy. This kid was greeted with such laughter and joy because he was the fulfillment of the deepest passion of their lives. And it went a long time. It looked like it wasn't going to happen. It looked like Isaac would never be born. Remember? Sarah hooks Abraham up with Hagar. She gives birth to Ishmael, but Ishmael was the child of the flesh. Have you ever birthed anything in the flesh? Just look straight ahead. Don't answer that. Look straight ahead. Have you ever tried to help God out? We're going to see this morning that Abraham, the God of Abraham, is the God that demanded total trust. The God that demanded total trust, and he is worthy of your total trust. The God of Jacob is God managing the guy that was trying to manage him all the time. Oh, the Jacob in us. Oh, the heel catching, manipulative, controlling. But did you know that God never rebuked Jacob? It would have just hardened his heart against the Lord. God just keeps blessing Jacob. He screws up, God blesses him more. He screws up, God appears personally and promises him every star in the heaven. And we go, this man needs church discipline. Enough greasy grace. Love has limits. Deal with him. God says, I know what I'm dealing with. Be quiet. The servant stands before his own Lord, not before your opinion. Jacob, The God of Jacob is the God that manages the guy that's trying to manage him. Ever tried to help God out? And with a good heart? Yeah, of course. Your intent was right, and you believe your content was right. And let me just help you, Lord. What a holy looking thing. That's a religious demon. It's a religious spirit that tries to help God out. Let me just work this. You do your part, I'll do my part. Well, the God of Abraham demands trust. The God of Jacob is the God who manages the guy that's trying to manage him. Who's the God of Isaac? He's the God who gives everything, who does everything, and who overloads this middle link, Isaac, with every blessing you could imagine. Now, we're going to compare for the next few minutes. Isaac. You know, you don't really pay much attention to him because he lived 180 years, but he did virtually nothing. You know what he did for 180 years? He ate, drank, went to the bathroom, and had kids. That's it. He was the richest man of his age. He did nothing but live 180 years in utter bliss. No ups, downs, really. I mean, he did sin, but mildly. People look at your life sometimes and go, oh, there ain't no Abraham. Abraham, loved one, was a doer. He was a point man. He was a builder. He was a pioneer. He built and wells, and he did things, and he led the people. Isaac was a follower, never invented anything of his own. It says he was even buried in the tombs his father had purchased. When God appears to Isaac, he says, hey, I'm giving you everything on the basis of my relationship with Abraham. He was born rich. Everything was given to him. Now, if God gave everything to you, you might fall into some kind of strange sin and fly off to Europe or something. But Genesis 26, 12 through 14 says, Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. Look at Genesis 25, 5. Abraham left everything he owned to Isaac. The middle link. The nobody. Shortest biography in this triumvirate of patriarchs. And you may feel, Craig, I think I'm a middle link. And I'm in middle age. I'm a middle-aged middle link. Oh, there's a new book. That'll make me a fortune. The perils of middle age, when the air makes you drowsy and you're not quite passionate to remember your youth and you're not just quite totally old. And it's hard to navigate middle age, especially when you're a middle link. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the wise. Why? The early Christians were mocked because they were a ragtag bunch of fugitives and trailer park trash. That's what the Roman author said. You've got slaves there. You've got women in your church. That's all you are. You're a magnet to draw all the lint and the dust and the dirt. That's exactly right, because God loves to redeem everyone and transform every life. So the early Roman society didn't feel much of a threat of Christianity initially because they were just a bunch of weirdos, all the street people. You know, sure, I'll accept Jesus for a free meal and this and that. But you know what? But Paul says, but God had a different vision. He has an eagle vision. He sees broken lives that he wants to redeem. He is a physician that knows the sick person, and he takes you and he brings you back to life. Oh, my. He loves ordinary people. Abraham Lincoln said, God must love common people because he made so many of them. You're the middle link. You're not Abraham. Abraham was a doer. He was a point man. He was an entrepreneurial giant. Isaac is a little laughing boy. And God's command in his life is just to be. Live 180 years and just do life with all the money in the world. Ooh, my goodness. 3 feasts a day. And then God says, oh, you don't have enough, do you? Abraham, it's time for you to die. I'm going to give everything to him. And then I'm going to move him to a land called Gerar where he's going to be wealthier than anybody in the world. Isaac is the symbol. The God of Isaac is the giving God, the extravagant God. I don't know why we can't get out of this topic of expanding our capacity to receive. Loved one, here it is, the word of the Lord. We want your shot glass brain to become an Olympic-sized swimming pool with regard to receiving. I'm not talking about Rolexes or you want one, get one of those too if you have the money. But the point is, I'm talking about your ability to perceive yourself as a receiver with the spirit of Isaac. Yeah, you say, Craig, I'm a middle link. I'm an ordinary man. I'm an ordinary daughter or son with an extraordinary mom or dad, or an ordinary daughter and son with an extraordinary brother or sister or children, or but I'm just the link. Yeah, you're the link holding the whole thing together in your normalness, in your ordinariness. Yeah, when I grew up in Ankeny, we had a little gentleman that drove a John Deere tractor. He couldn't read, he couldn't write, but he was the wisest man you could ever talk to. You bring a complex problem, and he'd go, well, I don't know, and I may be wrong, and what do I know, but, and then the wisdom would come, the key that would unlock the whole thing. And he'd drive off in his tractor. Wasn't an academic. He had never gone to school, but he had the wisdom of God. God loves ordinary people because ordinary people tend to make themselves available to God to do extraordinary things. We mentioned last week that Samson was in a battle once, and he reached over and took the jawbone of a donkey as an instrument to kill 1,000 Philistines. You know, that donkey lived his whole donkey life with his donkey dreams and his donkey sins, and he died and went to donkey heaven. And he decomposed, and then the will of God for that donkey was seen in one incident when Samson reached over and grabbed the jawbone of that ass. Thank you, donkey. Sometimes, loved one, we mentioned it last week, just you being you where you are, how you are, is a sign and a wonder that God has prepared. You may live your whole life and God uses you to do one thing. You know, going to 7-Eleven once and say an encouraging word to the guy behind the whatever. And you don't know it, but that's why he created you, just to do that one thing and push that one domino over. The rest of your life is gravy. You don't know it, though, as you start freaking out. What is before me, Lord, is greater than what is behind me. And God goes, no, actually, 10 years ago. I couldn't tell you. I just had to use you. Now I'm going to let you live to be 75. And when you get to heaven, you're going to see that every sin is under the blood and all the angels are tap dancing about the one good thing you did unbeknownst to you. Ooh. Selah. Think about that. Wouldn't that be extraordinary news that you are in the heroes of faith continuing bio up in heaven? And Kathy. And something she did that she's forgotten, God remembers, and everything else is under the blood. And she comes out as an absolute amazing heroine of faith. The angels fall down when she walks by. Because one thing was done? Yeah, yeah. I remember when I shot a gun for the first time, my dad put his hand over my hand, and his finger on my finger. And, you know, I shot the gun, but there, it's complicated. Look what you did. What a big boy. Oh, my goodness. What? Look at the pressure you used to shoot that. My dad was really, you know, it was going to get shot and the target was going to get hit because of daddy. So Isaac, the ordinary middle link. Now, Abraham, everything Abraham did was hard. Everything. But in Isaac, we see submission. We see a passivity. We're not talking about a boundaryless person. This just sort of has boundary trouble. Isaac was a happy, joyful, submissive, passive boy. Do you remember in the book of Genesis, when we first see his story in Genesis 21, that Ishmael begins to mock him? You know, he didn't bother mama. His mama didn't bother him. He's laid back. He's submissive. He's cool. In Genesis chapter 22, God tells Abraham, now 125 years of age, to take his son Isaac, who is 25 to 30. He wasn't a little boy in the chronologies. Most of the scholars say 25 to 31. He carried all the wood on his back up the mountain. That's not a five-year-old. Enough wood to burn a human body, because he didn't know. But Abraham knew he was the sacrifice. So here's my point. He could have took him. Daddy's 125. Come on, baby. And they're going up, and they build the altar, and they put all the wood on it. And he goes, here's the fire, here's the wood, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide the lamb, my son. He could have taken Abraham, but he was submissive. He let his daddy bind him, lay him. He laid down willingly, could have taken him. And he looked in his father's eyes and he trusted his father in abject submission. Ooh, I like this boy. He is a type of Christ as well. The only beloved son who would one day walk up the same mountain of Moriah with a cross on his back and would be put to death on the very spot where this Isaac encounter occurs. Abraham did not withhold that which he loved, but the boy was big enough to knock his daddy down. But he would rather die than resist the will of God. He was submissive to God. He was passive when it came to being a receiver. He wasn't anxious for money. He did nothing original in his life. He was a copier. You know, even when he sins, he takes his beautiful wife. Before I mention his sin, because he's totally unoriginal. He does the same sin his dad does. He takes his beautiful wife down into a country, and the king wants her. And he lies and says, "Nay, she is my sister." He can't even sin originally. He copies what Abraham did twice. He's a follower. He's passive. You know, well, I sort of like that God of Abraham, God of Jacob. Seems a little bit more robust. Well, no, you know, God uses the common middle links to hold the redemptive chain together. We've got to give praise. Do you remember middle links in your life? It could have been that coach at school that was kind to you. Could have been that teacher that singled you out for special love and encouragement. Look at all the middle links of common, ordinary, blessed people that have come in and out of your life. In and out of your life. Middle links. And you praise God for them now, don't you? Oh my, my. We all had someone in our life that intersected our life and transformed our life. They're middle links. Ordinary folk. Just doing the next right thing like everybody else. But God loves to do the extraordinary through the ordinary. But I want you to see, Isaac was completely passive. When he was mocked, he did not respond. When he was offered a sacrifice, he did not fight it. You say, "Craig, that sort of looks a little Casper milk toast." Well, what about the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 19, where Jesus said, "I only say and do what I see my Father do, nothing else. I can do nothing of myself." It's a type of Christ. Submissive. Oh, I would love you to become so passive and so submissive as a receptacle so that the God of Isaac could lavish you, not just with money and stuff, but all that plus a bag of chips, anything he wants. Who says he can't enlarge your coast? Who says he can't change your situation? It may not be your way, but it will be in his time and in his way. I've got to tell you something. I've learned the last few years that if you wait and you trust him and you do the next right thing, there will be a harvest and an outcome. Now, every second of those years, the devil's always telling you, "Oh, this is it. That end it. This is it. This is where your life is going to be." No, and God goes, "No, it's a means to an end." The devil says it's an end in and of itself. No, it's not. Don't listen to the devil interpret in your ear reality. You're worthless. You can say, "Yeah, I'm the middle link. I'm Isaac. And the God of Isaac is going to be the one who expands my capacity to receive, and I will be open to good things." Not a prosperity teaching I'm giving you here. I'm giving you shot glass brain teaching that he needs to be the God who made that shot glass, and he can heat it up and stretch it into the Grand Canyon. We want to call you Grand Canyon Ministries when it comes to your ability to see you as blessed. Forget everybody else. You, little ordinary middle link. So he's mocked. He flows with it. He's going to be sacrificed. He just flows with it. And then look at this. In the next chapter of Genesis, his bride. He's 40 years old. And daddy's going to pick his bride out for him. He doesn't have any say in it. He doesn't want any say in it. He knows his daddy loves him. His daddy's superstar Abraham. He's an ordinary son with an extraordinary father. He has confidence. Now, wouldn't you want to have some say in your bride or hair color or whatever? Isaac is just out. His mother has just died. He's out in the field at eventide meditating. He's a reflective believer. And he looks and he sees Rebecca. Remember we taught on Rebecca a few months ago? That industrious little girl that went down and got all the waters at the well, carried all the water up and fed Eliezer's donkeys and again, whatever his name is. And she was such an amazing find. So he's even passive and submissive when it comes to daddy getting a wife for him. Says, hey, it's all right. We're good. We're good. Isaac is just so laid back. It's like, come on, get excitable about something, man. And then we see in Genesis 26, he has a bunch of wells. He can't even, he doesn't even really build a well. He unstops all of his dad's wells. Everything Isaac does, his daddy paid for everything. He dies, he inherits all daddy's stuff, and wherever he goes, he gets water. And he lives 180 years. What, doesn't that sound life like a Kardashian? What doesn't that sound cool? What if you had everything and all God commands you to do is live and be in the now and enjoy yourself? Stretch your worldview a little bit. I'm not a shot glass Jesus. I'm not a thimble.
Thimble Ministries presents someone that talks like this. Welcome to Thimble Ministry.
No, we want to stretch that thimble to a paint can size. Stretch that to a toilet size. Stretch that to a jacuzzi size. Stretch that to a pool size. Stretch that to an Olympic swimming pool size. Stretch that to a football field. I'm talking about you, Isaac, in all your ordinariness. This guy, nothing in 180 years except he just had everything and then some. You know, I taught last week, very profound message. I hope that you let that get into you. It's not the message you have or how people respond to it. It's who you are. You are a sign and a wonder. People are watching you. They are what? Just screw up if you think they're not. Screw up one time. And everyone's a PhD on your topic, right? Isaac wasn't a profound man. He wasn't a super smart man. He wasn't a biblical hero. But he lived 180 years as the middle link. And he held everyone together around all his ordinariness. They orbited around him. I mean, he's the guy you talk to at a church meeting. And he goes, I didn't really get the message. But there was a nice anointing in the room during worship. You know, he wasn't a profound theologian, a philosopher. He's just Isaac. Just Isaac. But he knew God as the one who lavishly, exceeding abundantly, above and beyond all things, fills a open receptacle. All God commanded him to do was to be expanded in his boundaries to be able to receive. You know, and we have our shot glass capacity and expectation level. And everybody else looks like a god or goddess compared to us. Look at their swimming pool. Oh my God. They're Abraham. They're Jacob. Hey, forget about the superstars. It exhausts me reading Abraham's life. I couldn't have done. Everything he did was hard. He had to leave his relatives. He had to leave his home. He had to leave. Nothing Isaac did was ever hard. He inherited everything. Can you imagine that? Why, he's born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Yes, he was. To be an example to us that we have a God of Abraham who demands trust, the God of Isaac who lavishly gives to the receivers who are open enough to receive, smart enough to receive. And he's the God of Jacob, even managing the one who's trying to manage him. He that sits in the heavens laughs. Psalm 2 says, when enemies come against him, enemies come against the living God. He goes, oh. He's the laughing God. And he laughs when he watches us trying to manage him. I got this, Lord. Let me work. Isaac didn't work for anything his whole life. He was given everything. And he wasn't spoiled. Quit this. You're going to spoil that person. Loved one, there are people that are so empty. They need 500,000 gallons of encouragement before they're ever even going to get to the level of normal. You know, why, that's extravagant. And that's, no, shut up. Loved one, God knows how to treat his servants. Some people need 45 meaningful touches and hugs and be told every day 600 times, you're wonderful, you're God's gift, you're his beloved, his favor's upon you. And they're not even at one pint of their 70-ton container. Quit judging who's being spoiled, and you make yourself one that's spoilable, unspoilable. Say, Lord, give me, my name's Jimmy. Give me, my name's Kimmy, and I won't be mean with it. I'm going to be extravagant. My cup is going to run over. Isaac's life ran over and saturated everybody's life around him. It was cool being in Isaac's house, being Isaac's wife. He was even an ordinary husband with an extraordinary wife. He was an ordinary son with an extraordinary mother. Sarah was a princess in her own right. See, sometimes you see the stellar... planets around you may seem so much smarter than you, prettier than you, better than you, more well-placed than you. Don't compare yourself with others ever. You don't know what's going on in their home. You don't know what's going on in their heart. You don't even know what's going on in your own home, let alone every house around you. So before you judge the content, judge the intent of somebody. Don't resist the nudge to judge. That little nudge that says, well, you should just put a label on them right now. You've seen enough to qualify a massive judgment that will label them accordingly. You know, Jesus told us that we are to judge no one, but we are to evaluate everything. Judgment means I'm putting a permanent label on you. You are an idiot. You're an idiot yesterday. You're going to be an idiot tomorrow. And I give an idiot label. Only God, who knows all and sees all on the throne, can give you an idiot label forever. Because who you put an idiot label on becomes a believer the next day and writes a book that changes the world, and you label them. That's judgment. That's forbidden. Evaluation, though, we got to evaluate everything. Test all things. Hold fast to that which is good. So don't misjudge Isaac. He's just the middle link in middle age. But oh my Lord, couldn't we ask that Isaac spirit to be poured out upon us? Yeah. Some of you don't need stuff. You just need peace with the stuff you got. Peace. The older I get, the more I'm sensually attracted to that rocking chair on my front porch. Arwen comes out and goes, where are you? Why are you sitting in that rocking chair all the time? I said, oh, you'll find out one day. Sometimes you just savor the simple things. That's what Isaac did for 180 years, living like a rock star. And in just being him, that was him. That's what he was called to do. Because see, the next time the devil says, you're not Abraham, you're not Jacob, say, I'm Isaac, and I'm content. Isaac had more than both of them put together. He had everything. Oh my gosh. Hi, I'm Isaac. What do you do? I live, I move. That's it. Remember Cain in Kung Fu? What do you do? I live, I breathe, I play a flute, you know. And he was more heightenedly alive and in the moment than all the Gunsmoke people I watched. Hoss just didn't look as relaxed as Cain, you know. Neither attached nor detached. And we would wait to the end of that 30-minute show to see him go crazy in slow motion and kill all the bad guys. We waited for 30 minutes for him to be passive, beaten up by children. But we knew, didn't we? At about 28 minutes of that show, in slow motion, I'd go, yes, yes, you know. The only better thing I've seen is when Robert Downey Jr. is Sherlock Holmes, and they do that time lapse where he's doing a fight, where he sees where it's going, and it all happens fast. That's delicious, too. I'm the only person or pastor in the theater going, yes, yes. The older I get, man, simple things make me go, yes. We got a new fridge the other day, and I had to do a victory dance. Arwen has a new victory dance that she does. I said, do a victory dance right in front of that fridge. Whew. You know you're 56 when getting a vacuum cleaner cord gives you a little rush. Isaacness. I pray a spirit of Isaacness upon you, loved one. Middle link and all. Just be, you know, the scripture says that he died full of years. It's not how many years you live, it's how much life is in the years you live. Full of years. That's a big, fat, sufficiently sophonsified life. And that's it. It's like, Had a meal the other day. It was so of God. I was just hungry enough, and I was just going to the restaurant, and it just was set up to be a divine appointment. I mean, I'm telling you, I was Isaac. And then I ate and I just sat back and presided in the booth. I looked spiritually elite, anointed. You would have known a spirit of prophecy was coming on me. Can't we ask that our moments in life become big, fat moments of peace, of rest? But it all begins with a willingness. I mean, if we were going to the table of the Lord today, I would ask that we repent before God of our shot glassness, size, limitation. I'll never be Abraham. I'll never be Jacob. So what? You're going to go kill yourself? Isaac lived longer because he learned to be passive, submissive, and receptive. The God of Isaac is the God who lavishes and does it all. He wouldn't let Isaac do anything. He did everything for him. Spoiled? No. That was his life as a sign and a wonder. Laughter boy. He laughed all the time.
Well, quit laughing all the time. We need to be serious about the things of God. Mr. Laughter, baby.
No. No, actually, get out of my tent. Thank you. Just like Esau was thrown out of my tent. You get out of my tent, religious spirit. Trying to mock my life. Shut up in Jesus' name. Quit listening to everything. Why do we listen to the devil? He's a liar and a murderer from the beginning, but we include him in all of our meetings. Don't we? It's okay. You say this, you say that. Okay, now what does the devil say? He's a liar, but we invite him in. We never say, get out of my tent. Ishmael, spirit, religious spirit that would mock my peace, my comfort, my football field capacity to receive. Loved one, if someone somewhere refuses to eat the meal they've been given and enjoy it, should that impinge on you eating the meal God's given you and enjoying it? David said, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. David said, I can eat and be Isaac and have everything with my enemy 2 feet away, grinding his teeth and refusing to eat, and I'm fine. You know, there's some people you love to eat dinner with because they worship with you. Oh, my God, taste this. Oh, Lord. There's some people I love to go out to dinner with because everything is a miracle to them. It's like a child, you know. You know. We just have a praise session. There's other people I hate to take out to dinner because they don't like anything. You take them to Ruth's Chris and they'll go, this is a little too rare. Could you take it back? Thank you so much. If there's nothing wrong, their whole identity is wrapped up in that, excuse me, hi, I ordered sprouts and I wanted you to peel every other one. And you know, it's horrible to try to enjoy bounty with a shot glass, nasty attitude. Ungrateful. Did you know why God let the children of Israel wander 40 years in the wilderness and they died in the wilderness, that whole generation? Ingratitude. They didn't appreciate their meal. Here's the Lord, rains manna down, wants to sit with his babies and go, look, there's abundance, and your shoes don't wear out, and your clothes don't wear out, you have central air conditioning, central heating. Ah, let's have some fellowship. Yeah, I don't like this. I don't like this shoes. They never wear out. Doug and Debbie Weiner. I don't know. They go to Ruth's Chris and say, do you have macaroni and cheese? No, we don't. Oh, if you want to, Lincoln said, if you want to find something wrong with somebody, you can always do it. There's something there. If you're fixated on finding a problem, you'll find it. But why can't we be Isaac? Why can't we live full of years in the years that we have and at peace and at rest? There's something about peace flowing from middle links like Isaac that'll change everyone around him. Abraham needed Isaac. Jacob needed Isaac. He was the guy. He didn't know it, really. He just was called to live. That's it. What's my purpose here in the patriarchal triumvirate? Nothing. Just live. And don't die. You can't die because the Messiah is going to come from your loins. Well, what movement should I belong to? Nothing. Live 180 years. What should I do? Do whatever you want. It's blessed. This is greasy grace. There's got to be something to do. See, you can't sit down for a minute. You know the God of Abraham and the God of Jacob. You don't know the God of Isaac who says, shut up in Jesus' name. Lay down and do nothing for me. He didn't work for God his entire ministry. He just lived. But his life was a sign and a wonder to everyone. He preached. In Genesis 26, he starts on stopping his father's wells, and the Philistines come around and say, we want those wells. Those wells are ours. And he goes, all right, take them. Take them. I dare say that would not be your response, oh, unpassive one. If someone, you have wells, you have life in the desert. You don't have wells, you die. And Isaac just said, give it to him. That well was worth $1 billion in the ancient world. If you had a well, one well that you ever dug, you would be a memorial to your people for the rest of your life. Craig, he who built the well. I could preside in my Arab robe for the rest of my identity, having accomplished that. Isaac says, give it up. Let him have it. What? You think Abraham would have said that? Abraham would have taken a team of 300 men and killed everybody. Jacob? You think he would have given any well up? No. He would have limped, but he would have limped towards you, and you would be dead. Isaac goes, I hold loosely to everything in life. I'm a receiver. It's all right. My trust isn't in the water well. It's in the God who gives the water. Just let him have it. Then they come to a second well and contend about it. He says to his men again, and his men are going nuts. People around you sometimes that don't understand that you're an Isaac think you're crazy in what you let go. I would have held on and fought to the death for that well. After all, God gave my daddy that well. It's irresponsible to let it go. Can we have some wisdom here? Isaac says, give it up. I don't need it. I've got the God that owns the water. Second well, they want it. Take that too. Yeah. Third well, finally, they dig one called Rehoboth, which says, finally, the Lord has given us room. Didn't some Isaac was going to let the Lord handle it? Wow, what a shock. A man who would let God do it all and him do nothing but be. That's it. You can let the wells go, sweetheart. God has a well for you, but let him bring it. Let him bring the relationships and the whatever it is and the understanding of your life. He's going to give you eagle's wings soon to be able to sit down and make more sense of your life. This is not the time to commit suicide. This is the time when you're just about to defuse your last bomb that's going to make that whole bombed area free where other people can come. You're just about dug the cistern all the way to the bottom, and the water is just about to come and fill that 300-foot cistern up, and you're going to change lives. But it's that in-between that is so dangerous. I think Isaac had peace, and he enjoyed everything he had. Well, he got old. And when he got a little older, he started getting a few of his own ideas. You know, when you get older, sometimes we call it the hardening of the categories. You know what I'm saying? You start getting old and out, and you get a little brittle. You fiddle with your brittle. And he lost his sight. He couldn't see well. And he loves Jacob's son, Jacob's brother. Jacob and Esau, they were twins. And God had said Jacob was going to inherit everything, but Daddy loved Esau. Esau was a man's man. I like him too. It doesn't say he was a horrible sinner. Just said he was a relatable man's man. He's a hunter. Jacob's playing chess at home with Mama. He's a mama boy. And Esau was likable. Men loved him. Women loved him. He was just, you know, he's one of those guys that you look at and go, God, how can you shoot things like that and look that good? You know, he's macho. And there's a point where Isaac says, hey, I'm hungry. I want some of your venison. Go get some venison. Come back. I'm going to bless you. Now, what's interesting is that it looked like he was going to bless the wrong kid. Jacob was to receive the promise. But Isaac, as he's older, comes up with a few of his own ideas. So when you get older, stay loose, stay young, stay lucid. By the way, stay around young people, and it keeps you young. I'm around young people all the time. It keeps me childlike to be around children. Don't ever get old. One of my mentors, Dr. Walter Martin, used to tell me when he was in his 60s, late 60s, said, Craig, you know why I'm alive and young in my thinking? It's because I hang around young people all the time. I pour into young people all the time, and I can't be old, whatever my age. And he was childlike to the end. Died on his knees praying. They found him kneeling down praying in the morning. He died in 1989. Great loss for me. But he was the youngest old man I've ever met, and that's what you're to be, the youngest old lady, the youngest old man anyone's ever known. Isaac, middle link, ordinary. Oh, loved one. But Hebrews 11:20 says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. Even when Jacob's mama says, look, I'm going to put an Esau outfit on you because he's blind. So you'll smell like Esau. You'll feel hairy like Esau was. And I made the venison. Esau's oblivious that mama is manipulating control. See? God's got to manage a woman that's trying to manage him. But what they do is they make Jacob wear an Esau suit. This is so embarrassing. Have you ever tried to be someone you're not? Come on, watch it now. You've got an Esau suit in the closet you put on occasionally. When you're going into a party or into an environment, you put your Esau suit on. Oh, sup? You know, it's not you. You had to put an Esau suit on to look. Anyway, that I can't. That's too much. I got a tape on that. Long story short, Isaac was blind, but he knew this was Jacob. He saw through the crazy that's going on. He saw that. The scripture says it was by faith Isaac blessed Jacob. That means faith that overcomes human expectation. Have you ever been under so much pressure by human beings that have so manipulated you and they're so in control and telling you what to do? And under all that pressure for Isaac to bless Esau, in the end, he still obeyed God. And he overcame all the human flesh that was saying, don't bless Jacob, bless Esau. It's like the devil saying, kill yourself now. Sometimes it takes strength to come against human inclination and say, here I stand, so help me God, I can do no other. I will not bless Esau. And he puts his hand on Jacob. And everything's all right, but it looked complicated for a minute. It sort of got nasty for a minute. Have you ever had any sort ofs in your life lately? It almost went bad. You almost made the wrong decision. Well, that's what we learned from Isaac. Just live a godly life in all peaceableness and godliness. And insofar as it has to do with you, have peace with all men. And you'll be the middle link that holds everything else together. Bless you in your ordinariness. Bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you for middle links. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be an extraordinary father or child. We can be the ordinary child of an extraordinary father, and that's good with us. We'll not compare ourselves. We can be an extraordinary parent of an extraordinary child, and we will not even compare ourselves. We're a middle link. We're ordinary, Lord. But we worship the God of Isaac who pours out. And when we even say, stop, it's too much, he then doubles the order. We're humble before you today, Lord God. We stand before you in need of repenting, Lord. Please, Lord, forgive me for being a shot glass, limited thinker. Forgive me for living in constricted, narrow confines just because I just think I'm in prison and I just can't even get out. Some of your children won't even try. They try to hold an elephant. They put a chain on an elephant's leg one time, and when he can't get out, he'll never try again. They can hold him with twine. Father, we pray that you would give us a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost to take a step away from what we think is a chain, which is now just string. We can widen our hearts. We can strengthen our stakes and lengthen our tents and tent cords, because we are about to burst forth on the left hand and the right. And as Isaac, we will receive it all and then some. And I'll eat everything on my plate, and if you don't want yours, I'll finish that. We rebuke every foul religious spirit that says, stay small, stay narrow, live in your thimble. You're no good. You're common. You're a middle link. Oh, shut up, devil. You're the accuser of the brethren that accuse us day and night before the Father. And Jesus shows his wounds every time and says, acquitted, acquitted, set free, not guilty. Make us Isaac, Lord. Let us from this second on, we'll be full of years. We'll live more life in one day that will stagger everybody looking in at us. Say, I think you lived about 2 years in one day. Absolutely. With joy, with thanksgiving. Go down to the beach. Look at the stars. It's a wider world. Go to the mall. Go somewhere where you see that's a wide world out there. When you see a swimming pool, I'm just going to make you not unthink this the rest of your life. I command you from now on, whenever you see a jacuzzi, a swimming pool, a toilet, a bucket, a thimble, a shot glass, that you will see, I'm not going to be little anymore like that. No, 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 no. When you go by the football field, say, that's my brain now, that's my mind now, that's my Isaac ordinariness. It isn't a materialistic sermon. It's he wants to enlarge you, that you have an abundance of peace, grace, calmness, delight, that you eternalize every moment in the now. The past is history. The future is a mystery. All you have is now. How you handle now. Fill it up big like Isaac did. Make me Isaac, Lord. Forgive me for my limited constrictions. And now I give you permission, Lord, to burst forth on the east, west, north, south, above, and beneath for my life. Pray that for you. We'll just take a moment as Helen plays. just in your own way before God now. Just say, I release smallness. I will not countenance smallness. No more thimbles, no more shot glasses. My God is a mighty God. I'm delightfully and fearfully and wonderfully made. I am a sign and wonder in my home, my generation. And why not that they start seeing fruit, blessing? Oh, bless our ordinariness, Lord. Pour out your goodness and your bounty. I pray over every life under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, we break the shot glass and we open you up. We break the glass ceiling. We open your soul. Yeah, you know a lot about God. Yeah, you know the Bible. Yeah, he's used you. But now he just wants to make you big, a big hewn cistern to receive just bottomless water. Oh, Lord, forgive us for our limited capacities. You know our story. You know why we draw circles around ourselves. You know why we color inside the lines. But we give you permission to break our little thimbles and expand our world, our horizon. From this moment on, in Jesus' name, I'm Isaac, and I'm going to be Abraham's son and Jacob's father. I'm going to be a middle link that, unbeknownst to you, somehow holds everything together. Your normalness, Ed, you don't even see it. You're holding so many other links up just because you're being you. Oh, in Jesus' name, someone give the Lord some praise. I'm happy right now. Are you happy in God right now? Give him some praise. I want you some Isaac praise, some middle link praise. That's right. Praise his name. Oh, Lord, you've been so good to us. And Lord, open our eyes now to taste our food when we're eating it and see colors and like little children. Oh, mommy, look at the grass. Oh, mommy, look at the trees. Restore in us that wonder. Let us live 180 years in wonder and awe. That will bless everyone around us looking in. In Jesus' name, someone shout, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate your time and attention. And if you want to find out about further resources, go to drcraigjohnson.net. If you have a prayer request, you can leave it there. And also, we would encourage you, if this ministry is a blessing to you, we survive solely on the financial contributions of our faithful listeners. So there's a donate page, drcraigjohnson.net. God bless you and yours.